I am
Sofa King.
Sofa King.
Now repeat all very fast, please.
I am Sofa King.
Faster.
I am Sofa King.
No, not so fast. Loses meaning.
I am Sofa King with Todd.
You say funny things.
So me and Tyler Durden just went to the coffee shop and got us some white power tea. Apparently, it's made with baby tea leaves and cocaine.
You might have read the sign wrong. I don't think it was white power tea.
That's what it said. Because she said, do you want the black power tea or the white power tea? And I said, white power,
of
course.
It's just types of tea. Did she mention the green power tea?
Yeah.
Okay.
No, she didn't say that. No. Just white power, black power.
You know what's really funny is I couldn't afford to develop a cocaine habit until I started doing the political work. And that sort of opened the door to that to me. But
that's because you get it free now.
Well, it's not free, but it's not as expensive, kids, as people would have you think. A modest cocaine habit can be had for the price of a car loan monthly.
That's not bad.
I have zero idea how much cocaine costs.
I'll tell you.
With everybody riding bikes now and, you know, trying to walk and get fit, you know, that sounds feasible.
You can get like a really average gram of coke for $40. And if you were just using enough to be like super caffeinated, that'd probably last you 2 days. But then
it sounds pricey.
That sounds pretty pricey.
People's Starbucks habit are more expensive than that. So that's only $20 a day.
It's close.
I mean, yeah. So you're.
And the thing is like you, it's not like certain drugs where if you don't take it every day, and I'm talking about like painkillers,
withdrawals and shit,
you're going to be bummed out. You could just do coke like when you have a big project due or you're a little short on sleep. The trick is because you've been doing coke for 7 days in a row. But the problem with it is that the quality is very hard to ascertain without actually purchasing it and doing it. And today's coke dealer isn't like, sure, have a sample and then decide if you're going to spend a bunch of money.
Yeah, a lot of it's probably hacked up and, you know, additives and, you know.
But that's the scariest part about wanting to safely try that one time.
I'll pass.
Yeah, so this show, we're talking about manly shit, and if you're not doing cocaine, you're not manly.
It's rallied. It's made a comeback.
Yeah. We do
It's the new meth.
We have a special guest.
It's the new old meth.
Guest is preferring to stay anonymous. We're calling him Tyler Durden or whatever else we decide to call him
throughout the episode. Cox.
But we think that
whatever we want to call him. Yes, I was talking to you. You can talk now.
We think you'll enjoy. But we are today. Our subject is manliness. We're talking about manly things of any variety and stripe, and perhaps to look at how manly or unmanly we ourselves are, but we want to talk about all the things that make people manly in this world.
Guns, barbecues, and power tools.
Hey, know what you're going to say before you say it, buddy.
Motherfucker, I say what I want to say.
The biggest thing that's manly to me is going out and seeing about the thing that goes bump in the night, because I'll hear like women, and I work with some very educated, talented, really brilliant women, but at the same time, these women who have like five times the education as me, if a mouse scurries by, they're like, dude, take care of that. Or if there's a spider, it's my job. Or if there's a bum who's like panhandling too aggressively, they instantly assume that I'm going to walk towards this guy who could be concealing a weapon. And I think that's part of being a man. I think that it's your job to go check on sounds that go bump in the night. We were built bigger. So, I mean, that's one reason.
So I like how some of us were. Equality is just out the window when the spider arrives.
Yeah.
Like they had a just doctorate. Like, they were just like, I make a similar salary to you. We're equal on all planes. Spider.
Yeah. It's like that too. Like when there's a sandwich to be made in the kitchen, everything's equal until there's a sandwich to be made.
Oh, man.
Get in there and make a sandwich.
It's a couple fans that just turned off. I don't know who they are.
Go ahead. This is the manly show.
Yeah, they better just turn off now. Yeah.
But I think that's a responsibility that we should like not just cherish, but like embrace and be cool about it. Because like, I think that there are certain things that are very feminine, but I think going out and checking on odd noises at night,
yeah,
or taking a dead and part of it.
I mean, the thing is, I suspect a lot of what we say today in this episode is going to come off as being somewhat of a stereotype, and some of the stuff we say might offend you. Yeah. You, whether you're male or female. But it I think, will. I mean, a lot of the stuff that we're saying, sure. I mean, I'm aiming to talk about what our culture tends to say men should be like. Men need to do these things. And I think our mystery guest is right. I mean, in general, in most circumstances, if there's a couple of guys and a couple of girls and something dangerous comes up, there's an instant, don't even think about it, gut level, instinctual, men move forward, women move back reaction that most people have. I mean, I think the men have, you know, in our DNA, we become instant dumb cavemen and want to pick up a club and defend the cave. And the women want to back off and defend the children. And that's part, I mean, that's the species.
Unless Ronda Rousey's at the party, then we just step back and let
her do Ronda Rousey's at the party.
But dude, just like China, she probably has a whopper clitoris. And all that is an undescended penis. I'd be willing to submit that Ronda Rousey might be better well hung than me. She's badass, and I would give her the business just like I would pound out an effeminate young male. But
I got you.
You know, I think
that's
part
of being a man. We have to at some point or another show that we are the man.
Right, right. Just played a boy. Like
I'm not even going to jokingly talk about her. I'm scared. There's some chance I might be at a UFC fight at some point in time in my life and see her and she heard the show.
Well, she's not going to hit a girl, Brent. I mean,
so my
all right, we're good.
My brother, who actually I was going to bring something up about him. He had two daughters and then he has a foster daughter. And so we've like had the girl kid experience in our family. And then my sister, she married a guy who has two daughters. So it's like, there's all these girls and we never had any baby boys. Well, my brother almost 3 years ago now, had a baby boy. And what's crazy is that kid from the time he was, and we've played with dolls. We've let the girls put makeup on us because that's part of having little girls. This dude, by no part of my brother's or his wife, who are very like gender neutral people in general, the boy is so fascinated with trucks and heavy equipment.
It's a strange thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Like from a young age, he'd be like, oh, and his little voice was deeper when he was born. And it was just crazy. Like, I think there's something innate.
I have two girls, and they're both, one of them's a tomboy, but she dresses like a girl. So she's running around beating up kids in a dress. and she's rough. I mean, she's rough. And then the older one, she's a tomboy. Like she's super tomboy. She does sports. She goes to judo with me. She plays softball, you know, and runs around and needs a new pair of shoes and pants every week, you know, because they got holes in them, you know? So, you know, it's partially how you raise your kids. And I think it's just built into them because how you are is kind of how your kids are going to be, you know?
That's the age old and nature versus nurture. Yeah.
Yeah. But I also think a part of it, cause I'll see, and know, you know, women who are very feminine and don't, you know, have many of the sort of manly machismo qualities. And in a general circumstance, it's like, oh, I got a flat tire. So the guy in the car put on the spare and, you know, that mode. But like when they're out on the freeway and they get a flat tire, they change the fucking tire.
Yeah.
When they're, it's like, I mean, I was... a year ago, I was out of town, out of the country with a couple of guys, and one of them is just super, super, like, over-the-top charismatic. He barters with everybody. He haggles. He's, like, just this super charismatic guy. And by default, anytime we needed to try to strike a deal on a used car, whatever, the three of us would just be, hey, Zubair, go, you know, do your thing.
Zubair.
Like his name was Zubair. But I mean, it was like I have the capability to try to hustle somebody. He's better at hustling. So by default, I'm not even stepping up.
Right.
Like, so I think a lot of the times when it's like, oh, there's a mouse, can you get it? I think a lot of it is also, well, fuck it. You know, this dumb guy will get it. Like get the dumb guy to get the mouse. I'm going to fucking sit here. You know, so I think a lot of that also shows like a certain level of intelligence. It's like, I know a lot of women who can do all that shit, but if there's a dumb guy in the room, make that bastard go kill the spider. I'm not getting up.
Well, there's a really interesting book by Dave. Oh, I wish I could remember his last name. Dave Grossman, I believe, and it's called On Killing. And he was a West Point graduate. And I want to say that he was maybe an assistant to the guy who's on the, what's the board, the military board, the board, it's like
the water board.
No, and the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
Okay.
So he was an associate to that, and he wrote this book on killing. And what they found is that during the Vietnam War, only 3 out of any 10 given Marines or soldiers actually have the ability to draw down on another human being.
Yeah.
The 7 out of 10 people will intentionally shoot high, shoot into the ground, shoot indiscriminately. They seem to have, like, in some old part of the brain, an objection to destroying another human being.
But, yeah. So they can aim into the bushes and shoot and kind of not know if they're going to hit anything. But if they actually pointed it at them, they wouldn't do it.
Right. And the Army has spent considerable amounts of money to desensitize people and bring out that manly warrior instinct. But what's interesting to me is, like, even out of 10 men who felt inclined to join a volunteer military, only 3 are. Yeah.
That sounds about right. It's the same thing. Men, I think if you look at fighting, men are less inclined to fight than women. If you get women angry, they just start beating the shit out of each other, pulling each other's hairs. I mean, mm-hmm. they get ruthless. They don't care. Men, they start with the pushing and the talking, and it's all talk. Yeah, and it's like the roosters, and they're, you know, fluffing their feathers up. You know, like, and men don't want to fight. Like, that's the funny thing. Men are supposed to be fighters. We're supposed to be the bigger ones. You know, but if you look at men in fighting, there are fighters. There are people who fight for a living, but a majority of men don't want to get into
an altercation.
I think
in general, though, like, the consequences of a male fight versus a female fight, Ronda Rousey aside, once again, like, you're going to get hurt as a man. Like, so, if it goes bad, you're getting hurt. Yeah, I just think that's
women,
what I'm saying. Like, subconsciously,
women don't
think
of the, yeah, women don't think of the consequences. That's what I'm saying. They're rough. Like, men, oh, I don't want to get a black eye or bust my face. I think men look at it as, if I get beat up, my friends are going to make fun of me. You know, like, things are going
to
happen like that. But they're more doubtful.
Yeah, there's
they're
nothing
more doubtful.
To lose with girls.
Yeah. And so, like, that becomes a factor. But women don't care if they get beat up or not. Like, it's like, if they're going to fight, they're going
to
fight.
I don't know if that stat's real, though. I think guys are probably still more
I'm not talking about
fight.
Stats. I'm talking about things that I've seen.
Right.
You know, if you watch a high school fight with girls in high school, way better than dude fights. Way better.
And by better, you mean worse.
Well, no, I mean, they're, smashing.
You're just saying
an
altercation between two people that you think that females have a higher likelihood of ending up in actual physical altercation.
Yeah, because
yeah, guys
care.
Will talk it down.
Guys just talk the talk. I've had numerous guys talk crap to me, and they won't fight. They don't want to fight.
Well, and there is a very rooster-like type of thing that happens. And then there's
peacock
also,
or whatever it is, you know, like whatever.
And also with men, like, I think there's a point where coup has been touched, where, like, if a dude gets knocked down, like, I agree with what you're saying. Like, when you watch internet fights, boy, if a chick gets another chick down, they'll pull hair, they'll take a shoe off and mash somebody's face in. Whereas a dude will knock a dude down and be like, "Are you done? What's up?"
Yeah.
You know, I knocked you down. And women are, you know, a little more vicious. But on the subject of, like, men in different groups being fighters, my dad was in the service. And so we moved, and I lived in a couple of towns that were, like, base towns, which are, like, little universes, right? And there are only cliques, and maybe if a fleet comes in, there's a new clique of dudes or kids that would come with it.
Yeah.
And sometimes they would butt heads. And I remember I had this kid, this friend Matt, who was really sensitive, and he was not a fighter. But for some reason, he always drew the ire of the new group's tough guy.
Yeah.
So Sam or my cousin Jeff would have to be like, "Matt doesn't fight, but I'll kick your fucking ass." And then those two, like, alpha dogs would pound it out, and then we'd all be friends in a couple months. But Matt wasn't a fighter.
Yeah.
That was it.
So I have some recommended titles. I'm just going to randomly throw them out during the show. So my first recommendation is Fighting, Fucking, Farting, Fishing. Anybody?
Oh, solid.
Any votes for that?
No.
So you're saying that's a title for this episode?
Yeah.
Oh, is that what we're doing? Random?
Well, so far we've covered fighting.
Yeah. Or weed, whiskey, women.
That's already used.
So far we've covered women.
We've covered women and fighting.
But whiskey's
and
awesome.
Cocaine. And cocaine, not weed.
On to the whiskey.
Which is powder whiskey.
Okay, I think we've just transitioned to whiskey. I don't know why. Like,
why are we not drinking whiskey right now? I know there's some Pendleton upstairs.
There are many grain alcohols out there, but I think in general, whiskey is considered the manly one, right?
I think so, because what's interesting to me is I enjoy Kentucky bourbons. And what's funny to me is I've dated women before who would take a sip of it and be like, ooh, I don't know how you can drink that. And I'd be like, because
I'm a man, bitch.
I'm a man.
Well, no, I mean, I like, because I mean,
a sandwich.
You could drink vodka, you could drink gin, you could drink whatever. But I think for some reason, whiskey, like when I think of like watching stuff in the old West, like if you watch a Western, they're drinking whiskey. Like the cowboys are drinking whiskey, not vodka, not gin, not beer. It's okay. Like there's some sort of Western cowboy mystique around whiskey.
You gotta think about it in a taste context. Vodka, it tastes, even a good vodka, it tastes like alcohol, like pure, like a rubbing alcohol.
It might be a cleaning agent.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Some sort of, flavor that kind of hits the taste buds wrong. You know,
right.
Gin is more of a mixer. I know people do drink it, but whiskey has flavor. Whiskey and tequila are kind of on the same level with flavor. So I think that's why if you're talking about, you know, a drink that people drink would be like a bourbon or a whiskey or a tequila, things like that aren't mixed because they have that flavor that you can actually taste, and it's not just some nasty alcohol.
Yeah,
you
maybe. Know, gin's horrible. But the thing, but if you're talking about being manly, manliness tends to equate stupid balls out. I'm tough. You're not. Like, I mean, that's so. It seems like cheap vodka would be a better manliness than whiskey, which is actually smooth and tastes good.
Whiskey to me is the great compromise. Thank you.
Whiskey, which we're having some right now.
Yes, so. We are. Whiskey is a great compromise to me because, look, if whiskey tasted like Gatorade, you would get so fucking wrecked so quickly. Because you'd be like, not only does this make me feel like a better person than I really am, but it tastes like candy. So whiskey says, I'm going to be Woody. I'm going to kick you in the nuts. I have so much flavor that you need to sit. Look, because I was just had an incredible gentleman pour me a drink, and that's one finger in the bottom of the glass, and that's a good serving. There's no other liquid to where that constitutes a serving. If he would have poured me that much water, I would have been like, whoa, kind of overreacting to the drought, right?
I wonder how many gallons of...
Cheers, sir.
I wonder how many gallons of water it takes to make a gallon of whiskey.
Probably a lot.
Have you had Pendleton? It's good stuff,
it's
right?
It's good whiskey.
Is it before noon? Yes.
Yes, it is before noon. Yeah.
It's 10:51.
The whiskey did just get broken out.
I feel so victorious as a human right now.
That's good, though. It has good flavor. It's sweet. It's
so smooth.
Yeah, it's smooth. It doesn't, I mean, it's not harsh in any way.
And because I'm a nerd, I will tell you a fact about whiskey. Whiskey is very high in oleic acid, which helps to fight cancer, and it helps to lower heart attack and stroke risk and Alzheimer's and memory loss by as much as 50%.
Whoa.
If it is consumed every day, and whiskey is one of the rare places that you can get it. So if you drink a finger of whiskey a day, then your chances for certain types of cancer, brain dementia, heart attack, and stroke are all limited. But that's only through
moderation.
I think it's part of the aging. It's part of the barrels that they put it in because they're not going to do that with other alcohols.
You know what? You know what, too? It's kind of a distressor. I think if you have a serving of alcohol, it distresses you, and you can kind of just relax a little bit.
I hate the slippery slope of one finger a day keeps all the cancer away, and two fingers just is cirrhosis.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. No, it's like wine. Everybody's like, oh, well, if you drink a single serving of red wine, which I think is 6 ounces a day, then it helps with your heart health.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, my sister is like, well, I have to drink red wine. It's good for me. And, you know, two bottles later, it's like, I think
you
turned a corner.
It only takes half a bottle for the couch to hug you.
Right.
Yeah. No, I have a bottle of Chivas Regal at the house, 18-year-old. And that stuff is just, it's so good.
That's the white guy whiskey for sure.
No,
it is. I was a bartender, and it's like white bros would always ask for that. Yeah.
Well, there's a difference between that and the bar stuff. This is the actual aged more.
Yeah, it wasn't the fancy.
It's delicious. Like the other thing while we're on alcohol is the tequila. I love tequila. Like that's my go-to. Tequila is awesome.
Really?
Yeah.
And, oh, I can't stand tequila.
Well, if you drink a good tequila, it is something to just, I mean, it is awesome. And one that surprised me, which I want to say it on the show and that way people can try it, because I was very, very impressed with it. And it's cheap. It's like $40 for the bottle. And it's made by Suave. You know how they make that cheap, the Suave tequila, you know, and it's just cheap crap.
Is that how you say that?
Yeah.
I never knew.
Yeah. Suave means soft in Spanish.
Yeah. And it is.
Well, Rico Suave, yeah.
Yeah. So you buy the stuff in the store and it's just crap. But I think you can go to BevMo and some other like finer places, the Imbibe here. And it's called, I'm going to butcher the Spanish, but Tres Generaciones.
That was white guy Spanish for sure. Three generations.
Three generations.
Right.
And it's like $40 for the bottle. And it is absolutely the smoothest, very tasteful tequila that I've had. And I've had, literally, I've had a $1,000 bottle of tequila.
When did you have a $1,000 bottle of tequila?
We went to Las Vegas. And my buddy who just had stacks of money, stacks of cash, who the IRS is after him now, I think.
That's part of being a
no,
man,
we took.
Sure.
I mean, we took $500 shots of Louis the 13th, which is cognac. But
right.
I mean, and we had this other one, and I can never find it, but they called it Pinca. And it was a tequila, and it was like $150 for the shot.
Ugh.
Not a bottle. This is a shot.
And it was so weird.
It was.
I don't care how good it is.
Oh, dude, it was excellent. I've never had anything like it. I mean, my favorite one, if you were going to buy me a bottle, would be Don Julio Real. And it's about $250 a bottle now.
That's ridiculous. This bottle right here is $25.
Yeah,
for the
and
record.
It's good. It's all right.
Pendleton, I mean, Pendleton whiskey is in a, like, for the price point, it's ridiculous.
Pendleton
should be $20 more than it is.
Yeah, there are some good liquors at a decent price point that you have to search for them, though.
You just go
buy the bullshit off the shelf stuff. You know, if you're not searching for a good alcohol, most people mix them and they don't care.
Ugh.
You know?
But an affordable tequila, I know we mentioned some super top shelf ones. I think Casa Dorus is a really good drink.
Oh, man, I got bad. Casa Dorus is bad for me. I know people say it's good, and I have not had it since it's been imported to the U.S. Reason being, I drank a bottle of it. Our friends brought it back from Mexico before you could get it in the United States.
Hipster.
And it was I had my tight pants on when I said that. It was, the more I drank of the bottle, the worse it got. That's how bad it was.
I think that's how tequila works.
No, I think
you just had t-shirts and bumper stickers made around that.
I think you just had a rare night where your tequila experience was what everybody else's.
Maybe because I enjoy tequila and I love it. And that stuff was just the worst. Maybe I should give it a chance. I should quit being a bitch since we're talking about the Manly show. And I'll give it a chance. I'll get a bottle of it.
I don't think any of the other liquors have like funny sayings like one tequila, two tequila, three tequila floor.
Yeah, most.
There's no whiskey rhyme or wine.
Whiskey dick.
Yeah, whiskey dick. Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah, that's a bad one.
I will say while we're still on the realm of alcohol, I will say going to the vodka just to share with the listeners, it is true that if you get a water filter, a Brita or a pure filter, that you can actually make dog shit vodka become really good vodka.
You can, absolutely
and we had,
can.
I had read this. I had heard this.
Oh, you filter
and,
it?
Yeah, you filter it. And I had read this and so forth. And I was over at a buddy of mine's house and his mom had she was devoted to Brita and then switched to pure or vice versa. And she does everything grand. She was at Costco. She had like a Costco size crate of whichever filter she just switched away from and just gave them to her son, my friend. So I went over and there's like 8,000 filters sitting on the counter. And I was like, yo, what's up with these filters? And he was like, oh, my mom brought them over. And I instantly said, you know what I'm thinking? And he was like, vodka, because we had already been talking about it. So I went to Albertsons and I walked into the alcohol section. There happened to be an actual like Albertsons employee standing there when I walked up there and I said, excuse me, can you tell me what your worst vodka is? And she couldn't. She looked at me sort of frightened and
she
ran,
was 16
ran
days.
It's a gallon jug of Popov, dude.
No. It was actually, it was a gallon jug of vodka.
Oh, yeah.
Just vodka Albertson's brand vodka. Yeah, it was Albertson's vodka. Yeah. I think it was on sale for $7.99.
Oh, some of that actually just says charcoal filtered vodka with the most generic label you've ever seen.
Yeah, that's all that it was. And it was $8 for a gallon. Snagged it, went over to the house, and we did like a controlled taste test. We took a ton of shot glasses and we poured three shots of it pure, and then took sticky notes and labeled it and ran it through the filter once and put a one, ran it through the filter twice, three times, etc.
Don't you lose and like then, alcohol content though? Like as far as if you're filtering
that
it, like,
I don't know.
Three, four but times.
We took a straw and just did a little tiny bit into the mouth because we didn't want to like be half drunk by the time we got to shot six and be like, this is miraculous. So you did like, I didn't even drink the first one because I didn't have to because I couldn't even sniff it. Like it was gasoline. It was a horror show. Actually, I think they did talk me into sipping it. But then by two and by three, and he had a ton of vodkas at his house. So by the third filter, this gutter trash, horrible vodka tasted about like Smirnoff at the third filter, which is still pretty bad, but it was at least drinkable.
But you turn an $8 gallon into a $20,
exactly.
You know, $7.50.
By the fifth filtering, it tasted no different than Grey Goose vodka.
Wow.
By the fifth, it was as good as Grey Goose.
I think you were drunk then because Grey Goose has a different flavor.
Well, no, the flavors are different, but the smoothness, it was as smooth as that dollar of vodka on five filters.
Because it'd be more like a Kettle One then. If it was going to Smirnoff, then it'd be more like a Kettle One.
Yeah, it was just pure smoothness. And we went up to six and we went up to seven times and there was no difference between five and six and seven. So it does work. If you really want vodka and you're a cheapskate, buy a filter, filter your vodka.
I wonder what the cost breakdown is if that filter stays effective for way less time because it's alcohol. That I don't know. I feel like the vodka company, it must be because they're just getting lazy. Like they just filtered it once. They could have just poured it back in a few times.
It might
sold
not
it
even
way
be
more.
Filtered. Well,
I mean, that's got, and again, you're not, you know, don't filter your Pendleton whiskey. It's going to come out like dog shit. All the flavors are going to get filtered. But with vodka, the thing that makes the vodka better is a more pure
filter.
Yeah. So that's where the price is.
I feel you.
And if you think about like the costs of producing booze on that scale, like I watched a really good documentary about the Bacardi family and about how they've made rum for however long they've made rum. It's a really long time. But they want to grow the sugar cane the same way because, you know, those brands are trying to hold a flavor consistently. And I would imagine that every extra step in that manufacturing process just absolutely hammers their margins.
Yeah.
So if you have to filter 10 million gallons of vodka
twice instead of once, then you're
doubling
out millions of dollars.
No, I heard some stat about like Taco Bell, like asking if you want sauce versus just putting sauce in the bag at whatever random and like picking one pack per item or whatever it is saved millions of dollars.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, I'm sure.
Yeah. When you're doing it on that scale, anything that's a penny and then you do billions of them turns into millions of dollars. I mean,
I'll tell you right now, though, Taco Bell drive through, you short me. I'm going back inside. I'm going to take that whole fucking thing, man. Your mild sauce will be empty when I come back.
And Brent gets angry about his fast food. So we know that.
Yep. Especially in the drive-thru. I'm fucking ticking time bomb, man.
Okay, so one last booze topic that I have in manly show mode, and it's, of course, you can't really be manly if you don't drink beer. I think beer is sort of the stereotypical middle-aged man drink. You get home from work, you drink a cold beer, etc. And beer, to me personally.
So is this a show of how not manly we are? Because everything.
Oh, I have a feeling that's what it's going to turn into.
Feelings.
Just wait.
We do have an internet radio show. Yeah,
we do.
In a basement.
I'm just saying, for my money, the best beer I've ever had isn't that much different than the worst beer I've ever had.
I'll disagree.
Yeah,
I'm gonna have to disagree with you there, Dave.
Like, I mean, the best whiskey I've ever had is a light year away from the worst whiskey I've ever had. But the best beer I've never drank a beer and just been like, oh my god, this is amazing. I've just been like, that's a good beer.
I think with beer, you're going for a specific flavor, and every beer is going for the same flavor. Like, you might have hints of other things in there. But beer has to taste like beer, and overall, it tastes like yeast.
I have like a group. I'm not even going to try because I have a group of the biggest, I'm going to call them connoisseurs.
They are.
but let's be honest, they're like beer snobs.
Oh, I know.
Like, I have a friend, I won't name names, that has like a couple grand in beers in a beer locker at Imbibe.
Yeah, I know. Yeah,
like,
wow.
Yeah, that's
good
just like,
Lord.
Yeah, no, that's the truth. I'm not making that up. And I get invited to beer parties. My invite's out now, probably. They're going to hear this shit. But I show up. I want to hang out with my friends. I want to socialize, but I don't get it. I'm not into it. I don't want to taste a sour raspberry beer that tastes like cough syrup, socks, and Bud Light. Like, it's not for me. That, like, they'll offer. They'll be like, hey, you want to try this thing? It was fucking, the yeast was harvested on the space shuttle, and then they brought it back down and put it in whiskey barrels. And I'm like, if there's some left over and some guy that really fucking cares didn't want some, right?
Okay. But and this is another thing that I think, like, men get exploited by this because we want to have the best. We want to have unique. There is a water sommelier in Los Angeles now, and he can describe the differences between, like, smart water, that water those assholes in Finland are harvesting from a glacier and all this stuff. And
I call
it's like,
bullshit,
dude,
on that glacier thing.
It seems so stupid, but people are willing to pay $17 for a bottle of water. And with beer, I think, like, all those guys have kind of talked themselves into a group delusion, because I agree with you. Sometimes that tastes like shit, and it's expensive. It's like $10 for a six pack for Arrogant Bastard.
No. You don't even understand. Like, $50 bottle of beer. Like,
I don't want to understand.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, I'll take it. They have these little glasses because nobody drinks the whole bottle. Yeah. But the whole thing ties into our social network thing that we had talked about prior. But they take little glasses, and then, like, nine guys all get a little glass of it. And then they log into an app, take a picture of the beer, and then note its qualities or something. I assume. I don't know. And then they're ranked on, like, oh, I've tried 3,000 beers from all over the place.
It's the same thing with coffee. I think if you're into the hobby, you're into it.
What I'm saying. I don't get it. Well, it's just not for me.
We were talking about guns earlier. There's gun snobs.
Right.
You know what I mean? I'm in a Facebook group called Gun Snobbery. It's not for everybody, believe me. And people post their stuff, and some people get hated on. You know what I mean? And it might be a fine, crafted piece of, metal that somebody else would appreciate. But on here, it's just not happening, you know? So coffee's the same way. Beers, liquor.
I'm just saying, it's not $10 a six pack. A six pack of Corona is $7.99 right now. I'm talking we're talking $100 a six pack.
To me, it's like, I rarely go out, but if I do, and a friend of mine's like, no, I'll sit down at the bar and they'll say, what do you want? And I'll just kind of say, I'll take a Heineken. I like Heineken. It's a fine beer.
You like Heinies?
It's unoffensive.
People I'm with will be like, no, you will not have a Heineken. And then they order some other thing
that,
like, at the bar is like $20.
You're having a Guinness.
And they bring it, and it's just like, it was good. Like,
I
could have just had the Heineken.
It ranges from not really being better to a Heineken to being a little bit better to a Heineken to being worse than a Heineken, but the Heineken was a lot cheaper. Like,
okay,
and I can't drink Guinness, by the way, because it's made with fish bladder.
Yeah, it's bad.
Whoa, really?
Yeah, it's called Innis grease or something.
Yeah, and it tastes like shit. Anyway, yeah, I don't like
it. Sorry, Ireland, it's not that great.
Yeah,
just like your stupid accents and your violent behavior. Hey, when are we going to start a fund to get the Notre Dame mascot replaced? Like, I know Native Americans are upset about the Redskins,
but
what about Irish Americans
fighting Irishmen?
It's a little wife beater.
It's because it has to do with white people. Yeah.
No, and it's a college, right, too. Like, the college should be extra offensive, but no, it's a fight. I mean, they call them the Fighting Irish. Yeah. That's
why they're all slaves for thousands of years.
It's like, let's make a baseball team that's like the Switchblade Holden Angry Mexicans. It's like,
wait a minute,
it just wouldn't go over. Like,
might. You just put it in green, red, and white, and they'd be like, yeah, Switchblade Mexicans, call them the Raiders.
What a lay. So you were just saying about beer snobs. Like, okay, so some people have the genetic ability to smell cyanide. It smells like burnt almonds, I guess.
Right.
But some people cannot smell it. They don't have the gene to recognize that, in their olfactory sense.
We should get rid of those people.
Anyway, walk through this building. If you smell burnt almonds, you'll know what to do. But maybe beer is the same way. Maybe there are people who, have some kind of gene that allows them to distinguish between different types of hops. I don't know that I have it.
Well, you didn't hear about the guy who actually blinded himself so his other senses would become more heightened so he
Please
could have
tell
beer.
Me you're kidding.
No, just kidding. I don't know.
Oh, wow. I was like, that's not out of the realm. No, like that dude cut his balls off and cooked them and fed it to people.
In
like,
the realm of the internet, I don't rule that out.
Yeah. No. Hardcore hipster pops eyes out to prove point.
Well, I will say this. Every time I show up to one of those beer activities, I bring in 18 packets of Kate cans and I put it in the fridge.
Yeah.
And what happens is all the fancy beer runs out. And by the time it's 10:30, everybody just goes to get the Tecate. Yeah.
Right. Beer is not my forte. I've been to like the Brew Fest, Village Festival.
Yeah, whatever. That was not a very confident sentence. Or you just don't remember. Yeah.
They changed the name. They're stupid. But and my buddies would be like, oh, you know, try this one and try that one. And I'm like, that one tastes the same as that one. And that one's the same. Like, I don't know the difference. But I can say every once in a while, I get the craving to go have some pizza and some Dos Equis out of the tap.
Oh, yeah.
That is my... I like Dos Equis, like, and it has to be cold and it has to be out of the tap. It is so much better that way than in the bottle.
Yeah, there's some things that go together well like that.
If you love a good beer and we have completely offended your sensibilities because we're a bunch of boorish louts who can't tell between piss water and a fancy beer, then let us know on Facebook, blow us up on social media, correct us, tell us we're different, buy us free beer and we'll drink it and tell you what we think. If it makes you feel better, we'll lie and say this is hoppy magic. Dude, you've transformed my life with that magical beer.
I'm not gonna lie, but that shit tastes like raspberry socks.
Well, I wasn't gonna lie either, but I thought if I told them I wasn't gonna lie, they'd be more likely to bring me a free beer.
So we went to college. Me and my cousins and a bunch of people in our family went to college in a place where lacrosse is really popular. And one of my best friends is a legacy to this fraternity because his dad and his older brother and probably his grandpa were a part of it. And he felt pressured to join even all these dudes in this fraternity, like played lacrosse and were violent and douchey guys. Well,
they were bros.
They were full on, dude, we'll like beat your ass if you want, bros. And no, dude, she wanted it. Yeah, they were those guys. So another of our friends promoted a party, and California microbrews are really getting traction at this time. And they went and bought 2 kegs of Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Oh.
And that's advertised
the
them.
Yeah.
Huh? Well, but they advertised them as Lagunitas Blanco.
Oh, wow.
And charged $6 a cup and made a killing.
Oh,
I don't remember. What's that?
Nobody even knew.
No, dude.
No, it's just
when do you think
tap.
This will be in bottles? Well, we have a special hookup, but you know, it'll be out soon.
Yeah, that's pretty ingenious.
That is ingenious.
There was something I read about Pabst, actually. It was pretty funny. It became so trendy that they had to like rebrand it because it killed itself by becoming so trendy with the new beer thing about snobby beers that they had to change something because it was so trendy people quit buying it. Because it was too cool to buy it. Like the hipster thing happened.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
2 Pabst. Yeah. It became so popular. So it wasn't cool to get it because everybody drank it. No, what they did was they came out with another line or something and called it like, I don't know, Pabst Especial or some bullshit. I don't know, actually. Huh. But it got so popular it was uncool.
Wow.
Which is weird.
That is really weird.
Yeah.
So we talking about lacrosse, to me, it bridges us nicely into another manly area where
MMA.
I will fail desperately, which is a discussion of sports and sporting events. So where do you guys chime in? I know our special guest is a sports fan. I think he might be the only one in the basement, depending on the sport you're talking about. But where do we fall on sports?
I play sports. I don't watch sports.
I only did track and wrestling. So I think that's probably why I didn't get into sports. I don't know. My dad didn't watch sports when I was little. My grandfather died early, single tear. So I never didn't have like a father figure or someone that watched sports. And I wonder if that influence wasn't there is why I didn't like it.
So you did 2 gay sports. What did you do, Dave? Nothing?
I did track.
And clarinet.
I did track for
a
day. I'll talk you through it. I did track for one day because I was going to do shot put and hammer throw. So we got there to practice. I went over where you throw the hammer and the shot put thinking, here we go, let's throw some stuff. And then the coach came over and said, Moten, what are you doing? You're supposed to be running laps. And I was like, I'm supposed to be throwing the shot put. And he was like, everybody starts with four laps. And I just left.
That was it.
I just got in my car and drove home. I'm not here to run laps. I'm here to throw metal. That was my tenure in sporting events. And other than that, in high school, I did journalism and theater.
That explains a lot.
It does. So I'm just keeping it real. That
you didn't
was
do like
my,
an like a I academic triathlon or something?
No. They dragged me into one of those when I was in junior high because everybody else quit and they knew I was smart and would do well, but they never asked me earlier because they knew that I wouldn't get along with anybody. So I was like, I ended up being like a pinch hitter and they called me on a Friday to come do the decathlon on a Saturday.
I have to make an admission. I was actually in math competition and competed in some weird thing like that. So in the game Kala, I don't know if you guys know that, I actually won a trophy in Mana Kala or Kala. It's called two different things. You guys familiar with that?
Not in any way.
It's a crazy math game. Look it up. I don't know. But I'm so nerdy. I have a trophy from a math competition.
Nice. Yeah. But growing up, my mom loved sports, loved it. All summer long, every memory I have is that my mom was sitting with the radio on and there was a Detroit Tigers game playing, right? Sometimes it'd be on the TV, sometimes it'd be on the radio. She went and watched sports. NFL was on every single Sunday. You know, the TV was off limits, which meant no video games until all the football games were done. She loved sports. Every moment she loved basketball, baseball, football, loved them, watched them all the time. My brother and I never cared, never watched them, never gave a shit. It never took with us.
Hey, just because you're drinking whiskey doesn't mean you can throw the desk around, man. What's going on over there?
My apologies. I was just getting a little comfortable. I think that if you have somebody in your life who breaks sports down, there's a lot of social barriers to entry with American sports. Like when you look at international sports like soccer, the goal is to put the ball
into the goal.
Yeah, the kids put the ball in the goal. But with baseball, you have bases, you have countless rules. There's no time. There's innings. There's outs per inning. And then with American football, there's like, you know, it's like the uniform commercial code. There's a million different rules to that. And thankfully, at an early age, I wanted to fit in with this group of kids. So I had a mentor that basically explained it to me in simple terms. American football is you have four chances to move the football 10 yards, and then you'll get another four chances to move another 10 yards until you get a touchdown. And that for me, it helped me get into it and enjoy the narrative and all the drama that comes with it. And sports is really a vehicle for drama. Yeah. You know, once you get
basketball, they're all women playing.
No.
Always whining
and falling on the ground. Oh. Yeah.
They're like, it's like professional wrestling, like WWE, but they're just shuffling the basketball up and down the court.
No, well, that's one of my favorites is in basketball when someone like falls to the ground and then there's just this instant, oh, my rib. Oh, then, that was, then, oh, no foul, no foul. Then, I'm good. Let's go.
Yeah, and a minute and a half later, even if there's a foul, they're like, they're back to normal, just running around. They limp for like 30 seconds.
And then I will admit, I've never been a big fan of sports. When I was in high school, like I would whatever the high school sporting event that weekend, I would go to those, and I will admit they were really fun. They were a good, like, you watched it, people you knew were competing, you kind of got swept up in what was happening. Completely different experience than just watching something on television. A couple of years ago, I went to a Dodgers game. And I went because it was free. It was part of a field trip with a group that I worked with.
I'll tell you this. I wouldn't even have went because it was free.
No, I went. So. I was like, I've never been to a professional sporting game. I'm going anyway as a chaperone for the students. We got there. Took forever to get there. Rode in a bus. Whole thing was a sort of a nightmare getting there. We finally get there, get to our seats, settle in. And I forget who they were playing, the San Francisco
Giants,
Tennessee Buccaneers, the Tennessee Buccaneers, or the Jaguars.
The San Francisco Queers.
They're playing something. Oof.
We're going with real names for teams.
Playing something. Then it should be the San Francisco Tech Giants. I think is what they would be called. But they play a team, and at the fifth inning, it was 0-5. Dodgers were losing.
Okay.
everybody was leaving. Like the whole, like everybody was just like, this is bullshit. Like everybody there was a Dodgers fan. Everybody there was bored. Everybody there was leaving. And then suddenly in the sixth or seventh inning, like the Dodgers got a score and then they got another one. And by the ninth inning, it was like,
they were leading.
It was like 5-6 and Dodgers were behind by one. And they ended up tying 6-6 and then they ended up winning. And it was like nothing I can explain or have experienced in my life. The way that 50,000 people were so united in their desire to see this guy hit a ball and make like, and just everyone was screaming. It was an amaze. I was like, oh, if that's what sports is, then it's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
But 99% of the time, that ain't what sports
is. It's like NASCAR.
Dodgers would have, yeah. Normally the Dodgers would have just got swept in the fifth. Everybody went home early. It was a bullshit game. Everybody tuned out. But that was fucking awesome. And it made me understand.
Yeah.
That's why people do professional sports, because moments like that are impossible
It's the same thing as life. Life is boring and monotonous most of the time, but there are those moments
aberrations
where it's great. Yeah.
Right.
And it's like the same thing as NASCAR. They're going around the track. It's so boring until Dale Earnhardt crashes and catches on fire. Then it's amazing.
Yeah.
So, that's the truth. I mean, I was...
You didn't say Junior, man.
No, I'm talking about Dale Earnhardt.
Oh, man.
I made that realization. I had no idea what NASCAR was even about. I didn't know why anyone watched it.
Left turns.
And I, yeah, pretty much a constant
No, left they turn. Have road but, races like where it's not just the oval track.
But I was at a sports bar and they were playing NASCAR in the background and it was nothing happening. And all of a sudden there was a car wreck. And for the next 30 minutes while we were eating, it was just nothing. Like the race was now minimized to this small screen in the corner. And it was just footage of the wreck over and over and over and over. And that's all anyone.
You never seen Days of Thunder? Days of Thunder. Dick Trickle.
No.
It's a good movie. Cole Trickle, damn it.
I think that's a different thing.
No, but
thing.
Dick Trickle's
the porn version.
No, yeah, Dick Trickle was a real NASCAR driver. Yeah.
Oh, really?
Dick
Are you was, serious?
Yeah. Awesome name.
Yeah. Marlon Silver. That's a good one.
One thing I would throw out about baseball is that the sample sizes involved, there's 162 games, so statistics are really relevant. And we used to play this dice game that was based on baseball, but it was very much like Dungeons and Dragons, but there's such a huge sample size that you can adequately predict what will happen with the dice.
Sounds horrible.
Yeah. My eyeballs.
And the other thing about baseball is it's actually a duel. It's really between the pitcher and the batter, and the batter can hit any pitch the pitcher throws, but he has to know which pitch is coming.
Yeah.
So the pitcher's constantly trying to trick the batter. And if you
definitely true. And I think the main problem I have with sports is just the unrequited hero worship that goes into sports stars. The fact that these people are raised to such a pedestal and paid such a ridiculous amount of money to play some fucking stupid game and like they're suddenly demigods because they played a game, and it's just so commercial. It's like you watch any sporting event. You can't go 4 minutes without six more Budweiser commercials, and the entire thing is commercialized.
And they're hyper-patriotic, and the NFL especially commits this egregious sin of equating their high dollar production with war. They constantly call their players warriors. Yeah. They talk about sacrifice and all this crap.
Yeah, it's a gladiator battle. You know?
Right. And the truth is it's a select group of ultra wealthy white men who are
running rings. Yeah.
You know, you talking about that, Dave, it brings to mind just they are, I mean, athletes at the highest level, you know, not the middle of the road guys who are professionals, but they're not all that great. The guys who are considered great and women too, women athletes, they are put on a pedestal because they do something that not, you know, the average person can't do. It's like a god, you know, a god you would assume can do everything. So you put him on a pedestal, you put a god on a pedestal, you put a prophet on a pedestal, somebody who's under God, because you are the average person.
Sure.
You go to work every day, you come home, and then these athletes are amazing. They do these things that you can't do. You know, so that's why they're you know, raised to that high of level.
I fully understand that, but it's like, and I know I'm a huge nerd, but it's like, so do physicists. So do kindergarten teachers. Like, that kindergarten teacher handles children in a way that I could never do, yeah, and she's true. Epically heroic about true. It. And who gives a shit? Pay her $30,000 and tell her to shut her mouth. It's like, how come nobody else in society gets risen
media
to that
and
status?
News.
You
media
know, like, it's just...
What? It's happening a little bit. There's esports stars now that are, like, rising. There is sure. some weird stuff yeah. where those Hope, kids are making $250,000 playing Call of Duty.
Yeah, like the poker, you know, championships yeah, and stuff. True. Like, those are, like, things that...
Intel had that commercial for the inventor of USB. Did you ever see that commercial?
No.
That guy just walks through the Intel like research lab like a pimp, like with a lanyard on and a flash drive or something. And it was like Irosuki Amosaki, the inventor of USB. And it said, rock stars are different. Our heroes are different. And it just like slow-mo, you know, like badass music as some Japanese dude cruises through and everyone just stops on their computer console and looks at him in awe. Like, damn, he invented USB. Like, so it happens. It's just, you know, we're not totally in that exclusive group. And the idiocracy of the planet is more widespread amongst the gladiator
status. I think the other problem that I have with it, though, is that the pro athletes are held on this pedestal, and then like all these people come up wanting to be pro athletes, and it's not gonna happen. Right. Like, it's just not gonna happen, you know.
But those people have the opportunity to attempt the dream. How many people here in the basement have touched a baseball before?
Oh, I thought you were gonna say touch something else.
Yeah, have you ever run?
Yeah.
Have you ever swung a
stick? I played baseball.
Okay, exactly. Yeah. My point is, I've never attempted a Fournier equation.
Me neither.
I've never had access to a centrifuge. I've never attempted to. So it's not relatable. But when you see a human being run and cover 100 yards in less than 9 seconds, it's humbling because you're like, I've tried to run before, and I didn't go nearly that fast.
Yeah. But I mean, and then a part of it, though, is like, again, it's like it's part of the marketing is what bothers me, because when the Olympics comes out, I'm just a sucker for the Olympics. I watch it constantly when it hits, because now I'm seeing someone who isn't being paid millions of dollars to perfect a sport. You know, it's, and then I see some track person run, and then I am in awe because this person isn't making shit for money and they're breaking records and they are the best in the world. So, they're not some egotistical dog fighting fucking douchebag in the NFL. And it's like, to me, that, I mean, that I fully understand that sense of awe because I get it when I see Olympians, but I just don't get it when I see professional athletes. You know,
this episode's turned into Dave's issue with professional athletes.
Oh, I fucking hate it.
I want to say real quick, I don't watch sports at all. Obviously, I've been real quiet. I just went to a baseball game on Friday night. Uh-huh. And the most exciting part was the moment after I finished the hot dog and wondered if I might have food poisoning in the morning. And then the next exciting thing was that a foul ball came really close to us after hours. And then the fireworks at the end. And then, can we talk about dirty laundry and barbecue or something different at some point in time?
Yeah, let's go into, we were on sports. Let's go into the sports that are maybe high level athletes to where they're not as recognized. You know, we were talking about American football and, you know, baseball and stuff like that. But what about other sports? There's shooting sports. There's martial arts. You know, there's different things. The MMA made fighting a lot more accessible to people, you know, and it's more accessible now and it's more accepted now. But there are so many other sports that people do. And I fall into that category. I do sports that aren't the normal. I don't go out and play baseball. Yeah. I played softball a little bit. I don't go out with my buddies and play football, you know, go and, you know, play frisbee at the park and stuff, you know, like I do different stuff. I do judo, I shoot, you know, and those are all competitive.
Sure.
You know, things, same thing with like four-wheel driving and stuff, you know, like there's so many things out there that are sports and they are hard to do, but they're not put on a pedestal like you're saying, you know, so
right. like trials bike riding.
Yeah. That stuff's crazy.
Awesome. It's unreal. Or parkour.
Yeah. So there's so many sports out there that are just insane and on a high level and you have to be really good at. And I think they're just overlooked. Who knows why? I mean, you know, the media doesn't have a handle on them.
Right.
And I would make an argument about the recognizability of major sports stars. There was a guy who lived in Bakersfield. Actually, he still lives in Bakersfield, and he was a high draft pick in the NFL. And he actually has a pretty public story. And I've been with that dude before, and people have no idea who he is.
Yeah. Porter?
No, actually, Jeremy Stott.
Oh,
but he was a second round draft pick.
Did you go to North High?
No, he didn't.
Okay.
I think he went to BHS, but
that name does sound familiar.
But he'll talk to like hardcore Pittsburgh Steelers fans who have all the gear. Maybe they have a Steelers tattoo, and he's like, so you're a hardcore Steelers? Oh yeah, yeah. They know all the Steelers trivia. He's like, do you know who the second round pick was in whenever he got drafted? And they were like, oh no. And he's like, it's me. And they have no idea who he is.
Right.
You know, their dad loved the Steelers and all this other crap.
Yeah, you're born into it. Yeah,
you are.
Yeah. And that's how I am. I have teams. I'm a Chicago White Sox fan. I'm a Blackhawks fan. I'm an Eagles fan. But I say fan, but I don't follow the teams. I just, if you talk about your Raiders or your Angels or your whoever, I'm going to say, well, they're crap, you know, because that's who I follow.
For no reason.
Yeah, for no reason. Yeah. There's no backing to that. You know, like they're, you know, I know that the White Sox were champions on these years. You know what I mean? The Eagles suck. I know that. And, you know, but they're still my team, you know, so.
And Dave, one function I think of professional sports is it's right up there with the weather. Like I've been at awkward family funerals with uncles I haven't seen in years, and like all the women are like sizing each other up to bring up uncomfortable stuff, and you retreat to one corner and have this conversation about nothing with five other male relatives. Oh yeah, did you see the Dodgers Giants game? Well, it was a hell of a catch he made. And you could kill 3 hours like that. No harm, no foul.
No, I can appreciate. I think I can only really do that with like video games. I could just kind of get in a corner and be like, so you play GTA 5? Like let's
Star Wars episode.
Have you ever watch the IT Crowd?
Yes.
Have you seen the episode where Moss learns a bunch of key phrases that are sports terms for soccer so that he can hang out in the bar? Like he just starts throwing them out. It's like, oh shit, I got him last night. Like, oh, hell of a kick there. And just does this whole thing. And then they invite him over, and then they get into like awkward situations where they like not sure which team they should be rooting for, if they're saying the right thing. And they end up being bank robbers and real men.
You have another title?
I don't have any more titles. We have lots of more topics, though. I'd love to not talk about sports anymore.
Well, let's move on.
You got a mic, bitch. Start talking. Yeah. What do you want?
Oh, I did say let's talk about barbecue and dirty laundry earlier, but then Brad escalated to more sports.
Here was a problem that I had recently. We had a friend rent a piece of property.
Pants? Skid marks.
No, I don't wear underwear. You want to see?
Yes.
We rented a cabin up in Kernville.
Have a dick off.
There's a friend of mine who's a real control freak, and he's not familiar with the art of the tri-tip, okay? And we bought this beautiful tri-tip, huge fatback. I put it on the grill, and I put it...
Where'd you buy it from?
I bought it from Albertsons. I would say...
Yeah, man, if it wasn't Howard's Mini Mart or some shit, you're fucking...
What the fuck? Suck.
Anyway, he was so...
Wooddale.
Yeah, Wooddale's legit.
Yeah.
See? I couldn't afford to buy a tri-tip at Wooddale that day.
I was trying to brag. I just go to Smart and Final. It's just whatever's on sale.
But this friend of mine couldn't leave the tri-tip alone, and he didn't trust me, and it was almost fighting words. He's like, I really think you need to flip that more than once. I was like, no, you don't, dude.
No.
You flip a tri-tip one time.
You should have punched him in the nose.
I wish I would have.
Just... Bah!
Everybody has their weird method. Like, my father-in-law buys two tri-tips at a time and stacks them. It's great. It's some weird thing where he said like the juice from the top runs down. Yeah. And then when he flips it or something, then it does the same thing. I can't pull it off. I'm not going to try it. I'll screw it up.
Well, and I learned, I've been bad at barbecuing for a long time. It was just, I'm very impatient. And when you're impatient,
the patience
your barbecue just doesn't work out. But I've gotten better. And I started buying my meats from a good place. And I learned that, you cook with the fat on top and the juices run down, you know? So, like, that's
the blood.
Oh, man. Yeah.
Yes, blood. Hey, man, you're outnumbered on this one.
I'm just clarifying. It's not a juice.
Oh, I don't think it's blood. No, it's actually the fat.
Well, we could argue that the juice of an orange is the blood of an orange. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, you could.
Yep.
Technically,
I think you can hear.
That's the nutrient liquid system inside of that particular.
And you kill your grass when you cut it. That's what the smell is, remember?
Grass murderer.
A grass murderer. No. That's what you are.
On the tri-tip, man, like this is my thing. Like I cook that shit hot and fast to sear it, and then I throw it on the top rack, turn everything down, and try to walk away.
I just did that recently for the first time, and I'm a believer.
Yeah.
In fact, I don't want to do it the other way anymore.
Yeah, I sear mine. I sear it, boom, boom, like for like 5 minutes on each side or 3 minutes on each side, whatever. It looks good. And then I just let it, I turn down the heat and I let it cook, man.
Dude, I'm going to stop at Wooddale now because the guy downtown isn't open today. Have you been to that butcher?
Which one's that?
Okay, he's downtown. He's on the he's east of Chester. It's a family business. I wish I could remember it now. It's somebody's meats, and it's downtown. It's within like walking distance of the Mint.
No,
but I went.
Oh yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah.
And he told me, I went in there and I got an aged steak, and he's like, I'm sorry, this is the only one I have left. But he said, when I get my meat shipment on Tuesday, he cuts up his New York's porterhouses, yeah. And he was like, I'll age it for you if you want to plan to pick it up on Friday. I'll even call and remind you. And I was like,
my grandpa was a butcher, sweet. And he would do that age thing. It scares the crap. He's like, no, you just got to make sure there's no blood in there. And I was like, I don't know, man. That scares me. It I know it's supposed to be too, the best. Yeah.
Jesus, it's good.
To yeah. include Dave in this, because I legitimately want to know this.
Dry soy out.
It's like Brent. This no. is Brent. This is Dave's sports.
I have barbecued. Yeah.
I've just got nothing to say. This is all disgusting to me.
I know. I've tried. I have barbecued successfully, like portobello mushrooms and some cool stuff and veggies. But like, do you grill? I don't know. But eggplant, I failed miserably. It was awful. I fucking had to just throw it away. I don't know what I did.
I don't
wrong
really. I don't.
There's no barbecue.
When barbecuing is associated with meat, so he doesn't.
No, that's really got nothing to do with it. When I became a vegetarian, and then became a vegan, I still had a really nice barbecue, and I would I would barbecue some vegetables and stuff, or on like a, and it's just
no payoff.
It's just,
probably,
there's no
right?
payoff. It's right. not. I mean, I'd have exactly the same result just skipping that whole fucking step out in the heat. I mean, I if you barbecue a portobello, you're going to get the smoke infusion, whatever.
Yeah, if you're on a gas grill, that's a valid argument. But if you're cooking on a Weber with some charcoal
it's
and
different.
Some, yeah, it's different.
It's different.
I do have to hate on my smoking snob friends that smoke meats. And some, I know you guys probably like that shit, but at 12 hours getting up spraying apple juice in the middle of the fucking night with a Bluetooth thermometer, you can go fuck yourself. Like,
well, no, and
my tri-tip's done in 45 minutes and I'm eating dinner.
Everybody has a hobby. You know what I mean? If it's smoking meats or if it's beer tasting,
I guess,
or if
but
it's
not worth
it's
it.
Whatever,
a smoked tri-tip tastes like roast beef and pasty, and I just fucking don't like it.
Yeah. I think smoked salmon is pretty delicious, but I don't know why you'd go and fuck a steak up by doing that.
Yeah.
It just drives me crazy.
You dry it out. People like, that's like somebody who likes a steak well done. You know what I mean? Like,
can we agree that that's not manly and it's an abomination?
Yeah. Yeah.
I watched some badass chef that did the indoor steak where he sears it in a cast iron skillet and then puts it in the oven to finish it or something weird. Yeah. I feel like it's going to taste funky, like if it's not barbecued. I don't know about.
No, because you do that with ribs. I feel like you could either,
I never cook ribs.
You cook
either.
Ribs and then you throw them in the oven or smoke them. You know what I mean? Like, so there's different ways to do stuff. There's different methods. It's like throwing somebody doesn't like a medium to rare steak and you throw it in the microwave for 30 seconds to kill the blood. You know,
oof,
like,
no way, no microwave.
Yeah,
man.
No, I won't. But I hate that. But
you can get the blood out of a steak by like salting it and pulling the moisture out. Dave, this would be similar to blanching eggplant or whatever that's called. When you cut it up and you put salt on it.
Or draining a human, whatever.
The tofu.
Like in my basement? Mm-hmm. Okay.
No, Dave, I have a question for Dave, though.
Okay.
Because I'm not sure. I can never remember this shit.
What is it, Brent?
Seat up or seat down? I get in trouble every time. Are you supposed to lift the seat or are you supposed to put the seat back down? Which one is it?
Oh, you got to put it down.
You have to put the seat down. But then they're pissed that you didn't lift it up. It's just lift up before you piss, put it down when you're done. Is that the rule?
Yeah, I think that's what's expected.
I was super drunk and I did that to myself. I was like, I'm going to leave this piss? Seat up. Well, I had flushed it, but my balls and the tip of my penis were in the toilet water. I fully committed to plopping down like, oh my God. Oh!
This guy's trying to brag. He's fishing right now.
No.
What kind of water flow you got going there?
We have that comfort bowl that's oval shaped. And
oh, there was
ass,
no seat. You had the seat up.
I had the seat up and I sat on the porcelain and
you teabagged the water?
Yeah, yes. Awesome. No, I'm not telling you that my...
It's just a low profile.
I was impressed, and then it was a low profile toilet and a narrow ass.
You want to see it?
Maybe. Okay. After. We'll talk after.
Perfect. I mean, we're so manly, we can have sex with one another.
Yeah,
and, I mean, it's not
I'm
even
confident.
A problem. It's fine. It's not a problem. But Dave doesn't like meat, so he'll probably
no,
pass.
I don't like meat.
Adjusting your crotch.
So, Dave, if you were gay, let me ask you this. Would you swallow, or would that fall out of the purview of vegetarianism?
That is a question that I will never answer.
Would you be like, did you have milk yesterday or cheese? Because if not, I can't swallow your load.
That is a question that no one ever needs to ask. And that is a question that no one ever needs to answer.
And we high five. We have to. On
yes,
one.
They did high five.
Yes.
They just Eiffel Towered you.
Yeah.
Mini
jails.
That was great.
I'm about to go.
All right, I have a question for
there's two of me here.
A societal question. How come people feel like you don't need stalls on male bathroom doors, or the doors on the male bathroom stalls, and how can we get a piece of stainless steel for a mirror? Like, are we such savages that we're just gonna like break the mirror and fucking stab each other?
No, this is a very good question.
I might look at a mirror and it break though. Like, that's how fucking manly I am.
Maybe.
So
I can't. No, it's like
there's because the Mexicans are carving up all the mirrors in town.
No, how much is the stall door?
I mean,
do we kick them off and then use them to break the mirror? Like, it must be based on statistics and experience and building public restrooms.
I don't know, man. There's a whole etiquette to how to use a men's room. I don't understand. I want a stall.
Oh, I do too.
I want a stall.
And can they not figure out how to close the gap so you're not eyeball staring some dude when he checks to see if the door's locked and you're just pooping and staring at a guy?
If there's no doors in the stalls when I go into a bathroom, I just shit in the urinal. Mm-hmm. And then when somebody walks in, I'm just fucking looking.
Whoa!
Euro style it?
Yeah.
You just hang your butthole over that?
Wow. Yeah. I leave my dick and balls hanging out over the front and just shit. And then I just piss in front of me because there's usually a drain. So it makes sense to me.
Brad pees in his mouth and it just comes out his butt into the urinal. Like,
yeah.
So it's like, you'll walk into an average bathroom, like an average men's room, and you walk in and there's like space for two sit down toilets. And then there's kind of space for two urinals, but they like put up six. Mm-hmm. So it's like, I've never been in a men's room and been like, shit, I'm glad we got all six of those urinals because we got eight men on deck right now.
So
it's like you walk in and it's like, why didn't you just put two urinals and just give us a stall?
Well, that's a bathroom that a woman designed because they thought that there was going to be men waiting in line.
I guess,
Like women are always waiting in line at the bathroom, if you ever notice that. They cannot hold their pee.
No, and they
for whatever reason.
They also have to go in packs, and that's a distinct separation between the genders because there's nothing we need to talk about in a bathroom. And I can't talk if I feel like you're watching either. Or listening for me to urinate.
You don't need help pulling your tampon out or anything when you go?
I don't think women do either. I think they can handle that.
I don't want to know what's going on in there, honestly. Dumbass don't tell on that one.
There was a guy that I used to work with years and years and years ago who I thought he was like one of the Duggars, right? He had an internally chipper attitude. He was very moral. And then we got a couple drinks in him on a business trip. He walked into the bathroom and it was a bar that was really old. So there was a one seater and there was a sink right next to it. Like, you could crap and wash your hands at the same time.
Yeah.
Oof. I went in there and at first I tried to hold the door shut because there was no lock with my leg and pee in the toilet. Right?
Right. So
like a flamingo pee.
Yeah, they all kick back one foot.
Yeah. Couldn't do it. So I put my feet down and someone blows the door open and I was like, get up, don't stop. And he called me sport. He said, nope, sport. When you gotta go, you gotta go. And he dropped his balls on the edge of the sink and pulled out an anaconda of a wiener and pissed in the sink right next to me. And I was so stunned I had to look. This was a fetish porno wanger.
Wow.
It was a massive specimen to be admired.
Out of the hyper religious, super judgmental guy who gets two drinks in him and is like, look at my wiener. Yeah.
Well, I would suggest that if he had a small wiener, he wouldn't have dropped it out and peed in the sink. Like, that's an exclusively large wiener man move. Like, if you don't have a huge
uncomfortable,
you're just waiting for the next stall. Yeah. You know?
And you know what? He got upset because I told the story later when he was sober. I was like, I just need to out Jeremiah has a giant pecker.
What would compel you to tell that story? What would compel you to walk in and piss right next to that thing?
In a sink. In a sink, two-handing your dick. So don't touch it, you motherfucker. Yeah.
He could have choked me to death with his dick. He could have wrapped it around my neck and
it felt like somebody's got you in a headlock.
Yes.
Like, what's going on here? How many up there are you?
I'm just sad you didn't recognize me when you came downstairs. Like, but I thought we were buddies. Like, we had that time at the bar.
It's been a while. Yeah.
So my other question with the bath is like, when there are four stalls,
mm-hmm.
and I stand at stall number one,
going left to right,
urinals, sure. Not stall, right?
Urinals. Why would anyone on earth walk in and use stall number two?
Because you got an anaconda and you don't want none.
You've still got three and four open. Like, it always happens. Yeah.
People don't have they don't have the space thing. Like, you go stand in line and they're fucking like grabbing your ass practically. you know, like somewhere like they're just walking up on you and you're like
personal space.
Yeah, like do you really want to touch my ass? Because I'll pull it out.
I almost got beat up at a Rite Aid by a family of cholos because I had some purchases and I'd gotten just enough items at Rite Aid to where I should have got that little baby cart they give you.
Right.
And I dropped some, like I'm just trying to hold all this shit up and keep it in my arms and get it. I had a bag of ice, some almonds, a 12 pack of Coke, horrible assortment of items. And I dropped something and I bent down to get it. And this person behind me was like 6 inches away. And I had to put my face like right by their smelly ball sack. And I kind of like tried to maneuver. And I was finally like, the guy was like, is there a problem, me? And I was like, yeah, can you kind of back up so I don't have to put my face right next to your groin to pick up my lifesavers? Oh, man, how could you use that word in front of my family?
Oh, man. Growing.
I could have said dick, face or lifesavers.
I could have said taint, balls, cock.
I would have said all that right there. I could have said dick, fucking cock, fucking man vagina. I don't know what you have, motherfucker. Yeah, right. I could fuck your wife right in front of you. How you like that? Is that something better?
How's that for the man show?
Yeah. Fucking get into it. That's then I'll fuck you. Like, this ain't prison.
Hey, and he might have been into that.
He might have. We were just talking about the. Oh, I guess we probably shouldn't offend Mexicans.
No.
So I was gonna go into
no. Pretty much. That's a good idea.
I did black people on the last one. Yeah, I'll just skip the Mexicans on this one. That's Everybody's true. Gonna hate me.
Yeah.
Burn crosses in my yard or something. Or what do they do? What do them people
not
do?
That.
They don't burn crosses.
Make what delicious is, food and work really hard. Is that what you're going to say? I think that's what you're going to say. Yeah.
Provide us with all of our agriculture.
I would say subpar food.
No way, so dude.
Work way harder than you need to. So that's what I would say.
During a really like heavy drug period for me when I was living by myself in Washington, D.C., there used to be this show that I would watch online called Ag Day with Al Pill. And it was all about the ag industry across the country. And it always started the same. It would be like after the second Conan, and I'd be like masturbating myself to sleep unsuccessfully. And the last Conan sketch would drop out suddenly. Hello, I'm Al Pell. This is Ag Day. Kansas is in a tailspin today on the price of corn futures. So one day they had a panel discussion about...
sounds horrible.
Yeah.
Dude. And no, and I'm sitting there trying
sounds like a show Dave would watch.
It's a show no one should watch.
No, I don't think even I would watch that.
But they had a panel of people who hire for the harvest season, and this year there was going to be a bumper crop of whatever crop, and they were talking about how many more jobs there were. And the first two guys gave really politically correct answers. And the third guy was like, Al, here's what I need. I need my congressman to ramp up this visa program because I got 300 jobs and 1,000 applicants, and two of them are white. And he just laid it out and was like, if I cannot get more people who can work hard and break their backs, I'm going to lose produce in the fields.
Right.
Yeah. And the other two guys were like, had something shoved up their asses when he said that. They were horrified. And Al Pell looked stunned. The unflappable Al Pell.
That's funny.
It is.
That sounds like a horrible show.
Well, I think people are stuck in their fake reality of what's, you know, what the world really is. And I don't know. It's tough.
I have a question. Once again, a man question.
Yeah.
How long have you been wearing your pants since you washed them last?
I wash my clothes frequently.
Three days. Daily though?
No, I wore these last night.
Just every day though. You got clean pants for the most part?
Pretty much. Yeah.
Like on jeans. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a dirty bastard. My work clothes, I will wear like a week, my pants for a week.
Do you freeze them or anything?
No.
Because I've heard that you don't have to wash jeans if they don't have like...
Freezing sounds like just a big of a deal. Like you're going to put that shit in the freezer and take it out?
No, I think more for me, like, because once they get stretchy and like everything's kind of like broken a little bit, once you wash them, they get tight again.
Right.
So I just don't do it for that. If they're dirty, like if they're got oil on them or the dirt or whatever, then I'll wash them. But I do wear fresh underwear every day. I know there's men who wear the same underwear for, I think there was a study that was like, men will wear their underwear for up to 3 days.
Oh God.
That was when you did the MeUndies thing. Yeah. And keep them for 7 years.
Yeah.
I just made a huge underwear move for the record. And for the record, if I don't have mustard on my pants, I probably didn't wash them. So if they can't stand up by themselves in the corner, man, and I ain't doing it right.
But isn't it funny? Like, people will not wash a jacket for long periods of time.
Yeah.
And that's totally acceptable.
Ever.
Yeah. And yeah. It could be right next to your skin, but it's dirty. Like,
well, I do that with sweatshirts.
Yeah, no, I think everybody does, but for some reason.
It doesn't directly touch you is probably why. That might be the same thing with pants. Like, pants aren't touched, except for yours, because you're not wearing underwear.
Well,
but
like a sweater or a jacket.
I've been thinking about it the whole time.
A sweater or a jacket. Yeah.
Can you put both hands on top of the console?
Yeah. A sweater or a jacket, you have a shirt on underneath it, which catches the sweat. You know what I mean? If you took your sweater off and smelled it, it's probably not going to smell unless you were at a Mexican food restaurant where it gets that smell in it, or, you know, something else, a campfire or something, you know, where you were somewhere where there was a real strong smell of food or, you know, something.
A huge marijuana grow.
A huge marijuana grow. Yeah, you're going to smell it. But as far as your shirt goes, it's going to take up a body odor or some sort of smell, you know, over the 12 hours that you're going to wear it. You know,
my I had a friend that went to Bulgaria on an exchange program, and I asked him what the hugest difference was. I think it was Bulgaria or Romania. It was a formerly Eastern Bloc country. And he said they didn't have as many water resources as we would have thought. And he said that the way it worked was at the end of the day. And he said when he first showed up, he could not believe how much people smelled. Like, he smelled so much humanity. But by the end of the trip, he was used to it, because he said at the end of the day, the guy he lived with would take his shirt off, inspect it. If there was no visible dirt, he hung that bitch up and put it in the closet and wore it another day.
Yeah, I'm too sweaty. I always have a sweatshirt. I mean, a t-shirt under whatever I'm wearing, and that thing is only good for a day. Outer shirt,
no,
my
shirt,
pants,
underwear, socks,
that stuff
every day. Yeah.
I'll even rock socks more than one day.
Yeah, my feet don't stink.
Oh,
I can wear socks.
Yeah.
If I don't go out and do something that's intense, I'll put my socks back on because I didn't sweat in them.
Right.
Yeah. So, but shirts. If I like, say, I'm hanging out all day or whatever, and I change my clothes for the nighttime, and we go to dinner, and then we come home, I'll hang my shirt back up. Like, that's perfectly fine
absolutely.
For me. My shirt and my pants or whatever, if they didn't get dirty. But like, right now I'm sweating in this shirt, so it's going to go in the dirty clothes.
Are you still rocking the MeUndies? Are you still on that wagon?
I don't have MeUndies. I have...
not MeUndies. It was my package.
My package, yeah.
You've been buying those, yeah?
Yeah.
I switched over to the Champion C9 Sport. I'm never going back. I threw away all those fucking cotton underwear.
Yeah, can we go around? What size shoe do you wear real quick?
14.
13.
12.
Okay. I'm a 13, 13 and a half. My question is, do you blow through socks like madness? Because I feel like if you have bigger feet, I feel like
yeah,
I run through
socks. Yeah, because you're
stretching
them. You only get the 10 to 12.
That's a problem.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, socks do feel like tight and thin when you put them on, yeah. Just like condoms for
but
me.
The
it's the same
the
thing.
Problem, shut up. The problem is, like, all my life I've had to buy the 10 to 12s. And then I finally was on Amazon and thought, fuck it, I can buy whatever size I want. It's Amazon, damn it.
And that one-eyed
slave
driver.
So I bought the 13 to 15s or whatever. Couldn't stand it. It drove me mad.
Yeah, they're too big.
Like, they're too big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just can't take quitters. If the socks fall down, that's where I'm fucking...
Yeah.
As soon
no, that's
that
kind of what they
throw
were.
That shit away.
No, you know what I came up on is that white socks fall, black socks rise.
It's the same thing with underwear. When you get cotton underwear, if you buy colored underwear, anything other than gray...
Yep.
Or white, they fucking like ride up your legs and shit.
No, but that's true.
Whites fall.
I don't know if it's a blend or something to hold the dye, but I will tell you right now to all the men that are listening and give a fuck, the Champion C9 Sport, whatever, they're some crazy spandex blend. I'll be honest, they're a little shiny. I feel like I'm about to go to a sporting event or on a hike
that's
or something.
How mine are. Yeah,
but
mine
they're
are like that.
A thousand champion. Fucking times better.
Yeah, and then if you want to step it up from that, you're going to get my package.
Yeah.
Those are they're $25 a pair to $40 a pair.
Yeah, what? I just couldn't pull the trigger on it. I wanted to try it. The ones I get are $24 for two pairs, but it's fucking worth it.
I'm waiting to see how long these last. I wear a pair every day, all week long. And wash them. So I'm waiting to see how long they last.
Yeah,
I do
like
have a
$70
couple,
on six pair of underwear today.
I have seven pairs. So I have one for every day.
What are they called?
They're called My Package.
They have a separate like keyhole pouch for your junk.
Yeah. So
the ones I have
balls,
have like a, they have a extended portion, but it's not like a whole sock.
And that's
or
fine
weird.
Too. As long as there's some room, I don't like the compression on my, I'm used to wearing boxers. Like that's where
I not do boxers.
Are you joking?
No.
Stand up and just yank your nuts off. Boxers are danger. Shit's just moving around.
You're like, boxers are worse than not wearing underwear.
Yeah.
I don't know how.
No. It's better than not wearing underwear because you're free, but you have a nice cotton to rub up against instead of your jeans.
Right. Like,
it doesn't catch the zipper.
You just constantly have a semi all day. Both boxers just rubbing that shit.
What else we got? What other manly stuff? Don't we have a game? Like a tools or fucking...
Oh, I do have
a game. Man quiz?
Yep. I have a man game. So the game is whiskey, tool, or weapon.
Let's hear it.
So I will name something, and it's either the name of a manufacturer of a tool, weapon, or whiskey, or it could be a specific type of weapon or tool.
Well, I feel like
it could be a brand name, it could be a specific type of tool, or it could be a whiskey manufacturer.
Are we keeping score?
We can keep score.
The winner has to make our mystery guest do a Sean Connery impression.
Sounds good to me. We got it. Good luck.
So the winner. So keep remember Wait, this.
Can
mystery
we do something
guest.
Different? What about Christopher Walken or something like?
Do you have an impression just in case?
I have several impressions I could do.
Okay,
for you.
Whoever. Here's the thing.
Dave,
wins.
Start the game. We've got to determine the winner.
Whoever wins forces our mystery guest to do an impression of Bill Clinton.
Yeah, so Mr. McDushin stuff has to do Bill Clinton.
My Bill Clinton's Matthew McConaughey at the same time. I can't separate it.
And just understand the rules, mystery guest. Whoever wins forces the mystery guest to do the impression. So even if the mystery guest wins, he must force the mystery guest.
Because Chris didn't understand that.
Right,
last
he didn't understand
time.
That.
Yeah, fair enough.
So
it's very confusing. I can't get over that.
Very confusing.
Okay. I'm starting with a softball just to set the stage and let us see how this works. The beginning, Makita.
Oh, God.
Okay, tool, that's definitely a softball.
Tool, whiskey, or weapon?
Tool.
It is a tool.
It's a tool.
It is a type of tool. So I threw out a softball.
Actually, it's a brand.
It's a brand of tool. It's a brand name of tool.
I hope these get more difficult or you're not allowed to proctor next time.
They get much more difficult.
Okay. And it's a show on cable, isn't it? Or it was? Makita?
I don't know. Mm-hmm.
Kind of dog from Japan.
No, and Akita was the dog that told us all that Nicole Brown Simpson had been murdered.
Question two. Burin. B-U-R-I-N. Burin.
Is it tools, whiskey, or guns?
Tools, whiskey, or weapons.
Weapon of some
guns,
sort.
Guns, actually. Okay. Guns.
Oh, guns specifically.
Specifically
okay.
guns.
That just took out the medieval Burin weapon that was in my head. Okay.
Burin. B-U-R-I-N.
Burin's going to be a... I don't know that one. I'm going to say whiskey. I'll just go off a limb.
I like tool.
I'm also going with tool. I feel like it's like a router bit
could
or
almost,
something.
Yeah, it could be something like that.
It is a type of chisel used for etching wood.
Yeah, there you go. I'm not a woodworker. You guys are woodworkers. You work that wood.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Keep sticking to that.
Suntory. S-U-N-T-O-R-Y. Suntory.
He went from softball to like these obscure China brands.
I got this. This is actually a whiskey.
We've got one vote
if
for whiskey.
If he's going to be so confident, I'm going to roll with him on the winning train. You got to be more strategic,
sir.
Pretty
confident.
Yeah.
I'm going to say Suntory. Suntory.
Sounds like a Japanese sword, but since you said guns only.
I'll say tool. This is how I play the game.
Well, it's Dave, can you let him know that it's Suntory time?
It is Suntory time. Why did you know it with such confidence,
Because that was the commercial that Bill Murray's character did a read on in Lost in Translation.
How long ago was that?
And it is for Suntory whiskey.
Oh, in Japan, all awkwardly.
Which, by the way, is an amazingly delicious whiskey.
Yeah, Suntory and that is probably the best scene in what is a pretty indulgent film. Yeah. Bill Murray plays a burned out actor who's going to Japan to cash in on this commercial opportunity. Right. And the Japanese director takes a long time to give him a direction and shouts at him in Japanese. And the translator says, he say a more spirit this time. And Bill Murray's like, really? He just talked for 10 minutes and that's all you got?
I've seen that movie. I don't remember that part, though.
That was Suntory whiskey. Okay. Holzapfel, Holzapfell. Holzapfel.
It's fucking German whiskey or something.
One more time.
Holzapfel, Holzapfell.
I have no fucking clue.
I'm a whiskey.
Big... Yeah, it's a whiskey.
German whiskey.
Wait, Holzapfel.
Motherfucker speaks German. That's a that's smooth and tasteful. That's
I think it's a, I think it's a whiskey.
I'll say gun. It's not a gun though.
It is a tool manufacturer. It's actually a major British tool manufacturer, and they make lathes and planers.
Man.
Yep.
Those are like big machinery, I'm feeling. Like, that's not like home power tools.
A lathe?
A lathe?
Is that the universal symbol for lathe?
Use a lathe. It's not a big... Okay. A planer.
I was going to say, that's not how you use a lathe.
Okay. This is a planer.
Yeah, but there are huge planers that could be in lumber yard or lumber fucking...
This is true.
Mabobbers.
This is true.
Things.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Hori Hori. H-O-R-I. H-O-R-I.
That's a Japanese strip club.
Whiskey. That's a whiskey.
Hori Hori. I've got a whiskey.
Hori Hori.
Mystery guest. That's Hori awesome. Hori.
It's not a gun. It has to be a Japanese whiskey or something.
Hori Hori.
I'm going to say whiskey.
Or hello, whiskey. Mr. America. You like a Hori Hori.
Exactly. Yeah, it's a Japanese whiskey.
Yeah.
It is a Japanese knife used to dig or cut sod.
It's not a weapon, though. That's a tool.
It's a tool.
Oh, okay.
Use it as a, oh, a tool.
Yeah.
Oh,
you see? All voted whiskey.
It's we not voted
that's
whiskey.
A tool and a weapon.
Only Japanese people would use a long knife to cut sod.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let me get in there with my butter knife.
It has that special headband you have to wear.
Hori Hori. Okay.
Let me throw out two more.
Fight it.
Stoger. S-T-O-E-G-E-R.
I'm going to say
gun.
Tool.
Stoger.
Oh, that might be a gun.
Stoger.
I'm wondering if there's like the act of stoging a stoger to refrigerate a refrigerator. Could you use it in a sentence? You're all, no, I can't.
No,
sir.
I cannot.
Weapon.
I shot him with my stoger.
I've got one weapon. Stoger.
Fuck.
You got two weapons.
Two weapons.
I think it's a weapon.
I'm going to have to conform. I'm going with weapon. I'm going down burning with everybody.
Three weapons. Actually, it's a weapons manufacturer.
Okay.
Most famous for making hunting rifles and shotguns.
Yeah, stoger.
I still like the act of stoging.
They have a nice over under.
We'll try to outman us right now. We'll take an expansion upon that.
That's right.
It's the
final question. Dalwhinnie.
I was trying to confuse you guys.
D A L W H I N N I E.
What?
Dalwhinnie.
Dalwhinnie.
I think it's a whiskey.
A Dalwhinnie.
I think it's an abstract Indian artist.
Dalwhinnie.
He's actually a magician from India. Yeah, and a magician
from India.
What's
the score? What are we looking at? It doesn't matter. Even
the great Dalwhinnie.
Right now, Brad is behind with two. Mystery guest has four, and Brent has four.
Is it an anatomically correct Indian Barbie?
I don't give a shit. I'm just going off the hinge
now.
So
Dalwhinnie.
So we got
mystery guest locked in with
tool or whiskey. I'm going to say whiskey.
Risky.
Okay.
Whiskey. Can't win that way. Damn it.
I'm saying it's an anatomically correct Indian Barbie doll. No?
So a weapon.
Weapon.
It is a Scotch whiskey.
Scotch?
It's a delicious Scotch whiskey. Dalwhinnie.
How many more you got? Because
that was
I can't
it.
Win. That was
that
it.
Means, so, that means mystery guest wins, which Mr. means Mr. that Fifi as won. We close out the show, we will
let's
get
say
him,
our
let's
sponsors.
Say our sponsors. We want to give a thanks, as always, to Red Ridge Beard Company and for Digital Creations for creating the swag that we give away when we do give away swag. As always, we want to encourage you guys to listen to our second podcast that we air if you're in the Bakersfield area on Savage Radio. And if you're not in the Bakersfield area, you can download it on Thursday nights. It is the Safe for Work edition. Anything else we're not plugging?
Yeah, Audible. I want to encourage you. Vote for my brother Jeb.
No, that's the wrong.
That's Poppy says he's going to be a great president.
That's the wrong president.
You said Bill Clinton. Are we going to do Bill Clinton? Bill okay. Clinton.
No, yeah. We aren't. You
so
are.
Take us out as
he's
Bill Clinton.
One thing I like about the Sofa King good. Podcast is they're good guys. All right. And every time I like to eat chicken, I eat Tyson shit. Hold on, Hillary. I'm doing a podcast. You can be president later.
All right.
Take him on out, Dave. I got an intern
got
to
now?
Mess with.
Leave Brent alone. He's had enough today.
I have.
Get over here, sweet cheeks.
I'm still sore.
Sit on Bubba's lap.
That anaconda.
Yep.
All right. Well, thanks for listening, and don't be a retard.